really appreciate it. And next week, I'm not sure. I have something in yeshiva at 12 next week, so I may have to cancel, but we'll see. We'll talk. We'll see. Stay tuned. All right. So I want to talk today about something I know we've never talked about in this year. And it's something that we kind of know about, but I don't think we ever really look at the psukim that really talk about it. So sometimes you read something, it's like, oh, we've read this 100 times, but now look at it in a new way. This is something I think you probably never really spent a lot of time on. You know the concept, but let's just dive right in. Take a look at source number one. We in Parshas Baloscha, so we are going to talk about after this, actually. Before this is the story of Pesach Sheni, but after this is the story of the Chatzotzros, which they would blow when it was time to march. Right, the time to head out. But we're going to talk here about the clouds and the way the clouds played a role in the decisions of the people to move or not to move and camp and uncamp and et cetera, et cetera. I don't uncamp is a thing, but okay. Take a look at source number one.
Decamp.
Remove camp, whatever you want to call it. Ubayom hakimes hamishkan, at the day when the mishkan was set up, kisah ha'anan es hamishkan. So what happened? When the Mishkan was finally put up, so the cloud now covered the Mishkan. Le'ol ha'idus. For the general, right? What's the difference between Mishkan and Ol ha'idus? Ol ha'idus is probably the larger courtyard surrounding the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is the box, right? The actual piece itself. Okay? U'be'erev yal mishkan kimar e'esh ad boker. And at night, it wasn't a cloud. It looked like a
fire.
But why?
Looked like a fire.
We're actually going to talk about that in a second. Marei Eish. But just as like a not aside, this is, what I think is we're going to see in some of the what we're going to talk about is a real kind of like visuals in terms of how this looked. You had a cloud over the Mishkan, and then at night it would turn into fire. Sounds like fire over the Mishkan. Mm-hmm. Like Am Yisrael's camping around the Mishkan. And there's this like sheet of fire that hangs out over the Mishkan. So they look scary. I don't know. It's pretty wild if you think about it, but fine.
But also, if you think about like light in that time, there was no electricity. So
right.
To me, it's kind of
it
like.
It gave light
the
there.
The sensors turning on. Oh, it's dark now.
Yeah.
The light on.
Yeah.
The light is fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Fire was up.
What?
How can not the heat too hot?
I'm sure it wasn't too hot, but it was, I'm just saying, we always talk about the cloud, but there, it would turn into fire. I think a lot of you think about it as the pillar of fire and pillar of fire. This was like, we're going to see. We'll see more. We'll see. It's sort of like a blanket of fire, sort of, but let's keep going. Kane, we can pass
some
more sheets. Any more sheets?
Anyone?
Where should be? Yeah, there should be more. There's
okay.
More. Here we go. Kane, yeh tamid ha'anan yechasenu umarei ha'ish laila. Okay? And that is the Anan would always be covering it, and at night it would be a fire. Fine. I'm not going to ask the questions as we move along. And then when the Anan would lift up from on top of the Ohel, and afterwards what would happen, the Jewish people would travel. When the cloud would stop, that's how the people knew where to stop. And by the way, I don't have any proof for this per se, but if you wanted to know that people would stop and like, where do we build the Mishkan? By the way, they knew exactly how to camp, right? Because they camped all around the Mishkan. So they needed to know they're like in the middle of wilderness. Like, where exactly do you want us to stop? How do you think they knew?
Where the cloud is.
Yeah.
And then that's where God is.
So the cloud would make like an outline, right? And you'd know exactly where to go because that's where the cloud was, okay? And just reading the psukim, I think, is fascinating, okay? Fine. Api Hashem Yisu b'nei Yisrael v'api Hashem Yachanu. By the word of Hashem, the people would travel. And by the word of Hashem, they would camp. And as long as the Anan was on top of the Mishkan, they would camp. Okay. And sometimes the Anan would stay on top of the Mishkan for a long time. It would be an extended amount of time. What would the people do? They would guard the Mishmeres of Hashem and they wouldn't
Travel.
Okay, fine. Vayesh asheyen an yamim mispar al mishkan. There are some times when the Anam would be over the camp for on Mishkan for a very short amount of time. Api Hashem yachanu v'api Hashem yisau. People would travel. If Hashem said so, they would camp. If Hashem said so, they would travel. Vayesh asheyen an me'erev ad boker. Sometimes the Anam would be there from night until morning. V'naleha anam baboker, and it would go up in the morning. V'nasu v'naso, and they would travel. Meaning it could sometimes just be overnight, an overnight stay. O yomam v'layla v'naleha anam v'naso, or it would be there for a day and a night, and then it sounds like at night it would go up, and they would travel. O yomayim, or 2 days. O chodesh, or a month. O yamim, here yamim is going to mean a year. And whatever it was, that was what they would do. Anybody have any questions? Go for it.
Who made up this crazy religion?
Right. Yeah, what do you got?
Clearly Hashem didn't speak to everyone. He spoke to Moshe.
Good.
And Moshe related to whoever he needed to relate to.
Yes.
So I always wonder, really look like? Tents with families, and it looks like camping, and their animals are on the side, and all their things, and then pick up and go. It's got to take a little bit of time to get everyone to go. Good. So Moshe has to know that, okay, whether they were there for a year or a day, they still have to get their things together. So I'm guessing Moshe told them to see him somehow. There must have been some degel.
What question are you really asking?
Moshe knew. That's not my question. Hashem spoke to Moshe. Moshe went to Mishkan, and either they had a dialogue, or Hashem heard, or
are you
Moshe
sure?
heard him. Am I sure? As sure as I can be.
I'm also sure that Hashem spoke to, that Moshe spoke to Hashem.
But not
but
about
asking,
when
I'm
to go.
I'm asking about this.
Right.
Are you sure Hashem gave Moshe the calendar?
Yeah.
No. Not necessarily in advance. Hashem could decide overnight, okay, it's time to go. And Moshe would know. However, Moshe knew, it doesn't say. So that's
the question.
But doesn't say that. How did Moshe know when to go? That's my real question.
But
anytime, how?
It told us like three times in the Pesukim. Yeah, when the clouds, like, when the clouds lift, the Bnei Yisrael are supposed to move. When they come back, then everybody.
They couldn't just stand up and go. The
clouds come very close. You see them starting
to lift. Then you know it's time to pack up and go.
And it keeps straggling in the back.
Your question is exactly the point, right?
And what it really looks like.
This sounds crazy. Kind of loony, right?
Well, I didn't use
it's
that.
Not really loony, chalila v'chas, but it feels like what?
Wow.
Like no warning? Like if anyone's ever tried to get a family out of a house,
exactly.
If anybody here's ever tried that, right? I don't care.
It doesn't matter. You just say we're going.
When your kids are little, you think it's like, oh, it's so hard because they're so little. When they get older, it's also hard. So it doesn't matter. How do you get them to get up and pack their stuff and don't forget your AirPods and don't forget your to go to the bathroom and don't forget a snack and this? This is a whole thing to get up and pack up and move. And every time you would move your entire house. The whole thing. Okay, they didn't have as many things as we have, as much stuff as we have, right? But whatever stuff they did have, they'd have to pack up. And then, by the way, every time you would camp.
I think they were ready on a moment's notice. They never.
I'm triggered by the unpacking.
You have to.
What are you unpacking? Yeah. They didn't have books. They didn't have vessels.
Whatever they had.
The family etching on a piece of stone.
Women's mirrors and jewelry. Everything they bought.
They had stuff
from Mitzrayim.
And what did you know, by the way, based on these psukim, you might be unpacking for
a day
or a year.
Right.
And you didn't know. Sounds like it.
Do you take a water bottle with you? Is there going to be a mayan when you get there?
Good. Okay, good. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
So likewise, if there's no, like, there being no warning part is wonky and, like, not unbelievable, but, like, this is really the best method.
Very challenging.
But also, like, the last words of this whole excerpt are, Alpi Hashem Biyad
Moshe.
About it being Biyad Moshe. So it's kind of like, Hashem, you have Moshe to do this. Why didn't you talk to Moshe every time it was time to move, so it'd be, hey guys, we're going to be leaving in the morning.
You'd have a system.
Coming down here.
You'd have a system. Like, Moshe talks to the Zakanians.
There's going to be an overnight one, so like maybe don't unpack everything. Like if it's really just by
That
clouds.
Would be a very reasonable system.
And you're here for 3 days.
And it is a very reasonable system, and it is seems at least that it is not the system.
It's a test. The whole thing is a test.
Yeah. Okay, so we have to see. Mm-hmm. Okay, but this doesn't really sound like an efficient way of doing this.
Yeah.
And also, not only is it not efficient, it seems like emotionally challenging.
Yeah.
Right, to do this to the people.
Yeah.
Right. This is a hard way to, like, no warning, no, so many things. When we closed the base medrash, right, to do this construction, Mirza Shem will come back to the shir in a beautiful space. Warnings and reminders, and I said, Kevin, needs to be signs everywhere because, like, if someone walks into the shul and doesn't know where to go, like, panic, like, you know, like, everyone, people need to know what's going to happen. You have to give a warning, you have to give an explanation, you have to make announcements, you have to send 100, you know, notifications. Because if people, Chalila, have to do anything on the fly, it's very difficult, right? It's very difficult. Yet, it sounds like that is part of the point.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of how this is structured, okay? And by the way, anything else that bother you about, like, just the text itself?
I felt like it was, like, very wordy, like, so many details. Like, why do we need, like, we get the idea, why do we need to go, like, sometimes it was this, sometimes
And
was
sometimes that. 3 months, and right. sometimes 3 months and 5 days, and sometimes, like, what?
Like, yeah. That would be an emotional. Hashem's command, right. Hashem's decision.
Right, but so many details. What other language is an interesting language? Find another language in this story. It comes up twice, actually. Al-Pi Hashem, Nachnu B'Hashem Yisrael comes up multiple times. Good.
What
else? Vishamru B'nei Yisrael es Mishmeres Hashem. What does that sound like?
Kiddush.
Vishamru B'nei Yisrael es HaShabbas. La'sos HaShabbas, right? It is like Mishmeres Hashem, the guardians. They're guarding the guardianship of Hashem. What does that mean? Even,
so is it
right?
meant to be like a because Shamor usually comes also with Zachor. Obviously, Zachor is not here, but
the Shamor is the negative usually.
Right. Is this an allusion? Like this is some kind of remembrance to something.
It could be. I mean, Foreman would take us back to like you know Gan Eden over there probably. But like I'm kidding. But like Vishamru sounds like Shabbos. Shabbos and Mishkan are very closely connected. But there's also I think the language of Vishamru oftentimes is like. Holding back, right? Restricting oneself, saying, I'm not going to, or I'm going to, this is what Hashem said, and I'm going to hold on to that, even though maybe it might be a hard thing to do, right? This is like the Vishamru to me, Shmira, always like associated with like, protecting, you know, a certain balance,
like,
a responsibility. What?
Yeah. It's
like
a
Shomer. Right. Correct.
Guard.
Exactly. So there's a lot of detail here. Clearly, it sounds like some type of test, something going on here. Like it's not an efficient way to get this done, and it seems like emotionally even challenging to like have them constantly not sure, stop starting, or stop, start again. Right? It's a very unusual thing to set up for them. Fine. So I want us to take a look at a number of different approaches here. Well, I won't say so many different approaches, but a lot of the details here. We're not going to see so many different approaches per se, but a few different things to learn from this. Take a look at source number 2. Says Rashi, Al-Pi Hashem Yisrael, Shanidu Mimelechas HaMishkan, Kevin Shehayu Yisrael Nosim, Haya Amud Hanan Mitkapel V'Nimshach Al-Gabe B'nei Yehuda Kimin Korah. Okay, so Rashi explains, it says in Mimelechas HaMishkan, I don't know what Mimelechas HaMishkan is, it sounds like it's some, like, you know, I don't think he means in the time they're building the Mishkan. I don't think it's a book. But the point is, he says like this, that when Am Yisrael would travel, what would happen? The Amud Ha'anan would mitkapel. It would fold up. It would fold up, okay? And it would turn, it would go on top of the Bnei Yehuda, which were, the Bnei Yehuda were in front. I mean, there's no front, but whatever, in front of the Mishkan, right? Kimin Korah, like a beam, okay? So it would be like a carpet, I think, right? And then it would fold up and turn into like a staff, like a beam, okay? Taku v'hariyu v'taku, they would blow the chatzot, which is again, the next story in the Torah after this is the creation of the golden, the silver trumpets, okay? And they would blow, tekiah, trua, tekiah, v'lohaya mahalich, ad shemosha omer, kuma Hashem. Okay, so you want to know, like, wait a second, I thought it's al pi Hashem b'yam Moshe, I thought we need some warning. The answer is, that was the warning, right? Seeing the Anan fold up and go in front, by on top of the tribe of Yehuda, that, like, hovering up top there, everyone's like, oh, okay, kids, let's go, time to pack up. You know, school's out early today. We're going to get going to start to pack. Okay? And then they would wait. They would blow the chatzotros. And then they would wait to hear an announcement from Moshe Rabbeinu, like, okay, here we go. Kum Hashem, everyone. You know, like they get it ready. And they would travel. V'nasa dega machane Yehuda. Right? And that's all in the Sifri. So this is just helpful in terms of like what practically would happen. Right, so this is practically what happened. So the movement of the Anan was the first sign that it was time to get moving. And even sounds like even Moshe didn't know. But once he saw it, that was his sign and everyone's sign to start getting things moving. Yeah? Good. V'alpi Hashem yachanu, kevin shahayu Yisrael chonim, amud Anan mitamer v'oleh, v'nimshach, agreve b'yuda kemin sukkah. What would happen? It would flatten itself out over the tribe of Yehuda. V'loheya nefaresh ad shemosh omer shuva Hashem rivavos alfei Yisrael havi omer api Hashem biyad Moshe. Okay, so again, it was time to stop. All of a sudden they would see the clouds start to shift and flatten out over the tribe of Yehuda as they were traveling. And then they would start to slow down. And again, Yehuda would just, you know, go past. Anan would stay here and he'd build the Mishkan over there. Right, that's how they would do this. But again, same thing, they would make an announcement. Okay. Like, how fast did they walk? I don't know. I don't know. I assume not too fast, because that would be difficult for everybody to keep up. But okay. Fine. And just a couple of things that Rashi points out, V'yesh klamar pe'amim, yamim mispar, yamim muatim, a small amount of days, or yamim, yamim kibi shana. So the point being, it could be one day, a few days, a month, it could be a year. Fine. Okay. So Rashi gives us just like some practical details here in terms of what it would look like, how this would actually happen. Fine. The Chizkuni in source number 3 writes the following. B'yom ha-kimes ha-mishkan, the day when the Mishkan was erected, lefi she-rotza ledaber b'masad galim, because they want to tell you about the encampments of the different tribes, magid lacha minag ha-anan. So then, therefore, I have to tell you how the Anan works. Sha'al ha-mishkan miyom shukam. That's the Mishkan was on the Mishkan from the day it was set up. Kisaha anan et ha-mishkan al mishkan levado haya anan miyuchad u-me'ule yoter me'otan shayu bishvil Yisrael. Well, because there's multiple clouds here, right? The anan over, because you might ask yourself, how many different anans are we talking about here? So it's the cloud that was over the Mishkan. That was a separate cloud. Separate from what? The Anan Yakavod. Right, the Anan Yakavod that were surrounding the entire camp and protecting the people, that was like a force field around all of Am Yisrael. That was a separate set of clouds. So there was the Anan Yakavod that, like, I don't know exactly what it looked like, but it was like a force field, right? It kept things cool, etc. So that the Anan Yakavod were around the people and maybe on top also. But then separate from the Anan Yakavod was this extra cloud that would go hover specifically just over the Mishkan. Yes? Okay. And by the way, this is not like midrashic stuff. The midrash is explaining this like practically how it looked, but this is the Torah telling us this, right?
This is this Malacha and Hamishkan?
Like, who explains that?
Yeah.
I think what he actually means to say, now that we're not understanding, it's a Sifri at the end. So I think this whole thing is a Sifri. It's a Medrash. But it's a Medrash that's explaining practically how it went. But I'm saying the Torah itself is telling us that there was this cloud over the Mishkan and the Torah itself tells us about the Anan Yakavod. It's the Midrash filling the blanks, like practically how it looked. But it was not but this is not Midrash, the whole idea. The whole idea is in the Torah. Right. Fine.
So in the very first part where it says the cloud covered the tabernacle, that is the cloud that covered the tabernacle.
That one cloud, not the Anan Yakavod. The Anan Yakavod is separate, and also the separate cloud.
That's how you know there was more than one.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, good. There's going to be another implication of the word. That's true, but we're going to see another the cloud coming up afterwards, which is also interesting. We're going to see. Yes, very good. Excellent. Good. Actually, you know what? I want to skip four for one second. We're going to come back to it. Skip source number four for a second. I want to show you a couple of pieces in the Nazirim, the Torah, and the Rav Sarutzkin, who, like, he's on fire here in this parsha. Like, with, like, interesting... I don't usually share with you, like, vorts, like, just, like, cute vorts, but they're actually beautiful ideas that are related to this, but not all related to, like, explaining this whole structure, but they're really nice. So I want to show you just, like, two or three pieces for him that are really interesting. Take a look at source number five, because some of them are related to this. This is exactly your question. Kisa Anan is HaMishkan. Why is it called He'anan? Be'he'ayidiyah, right? Ha'anan. He'anan means that. It doesn't mean the cloud. It means the Ohio State University, right? The, but the, right? You ever heard that? Yeah, no. The, right? Yeah, right, you've heard that before. Right, you know this. So the cloud means that one. It's telling me something specific about it. So what does that mean? Oto anan shenigla alav al Har Sinai. Meaning there was a cloud on Har Sinai, but put this all together now. Okay, how important this cloud is. Okay, it's the same anan that was kashur b'har. There's anan that was over Har Sinai. Okay, Amrev Levi Uma Eidut Yeshkan. Right, why is it called Oel Ha'Eidut? Why is it called the Oel Ha'Eidut? The tent of testimony. Why is it called the tent of testimony? So Sheviter Lahem Li Yisrael Hainu Amayse Ego. What happens? Hashem reveals himself to Am Yisrael Har Sinai. He shows up in this cloud. The people get the Torah. And then 40 days later, what happens? They do the Hechet Ego. When the Hechet Ego comes, Hashem goes away. Right? And there's this terrible tzara for the Kal Yisrael. Where did Hashem go? It's like this very upsetting thing. Right? What happens after when we... By the way, this is one of the pshatim in Sukkos. What the Sukkah is, represents. The Vilna Gaon said the Sukkah represents the return of the Anan. So he says, to be fair, the Gra thing says the return of the Anan Yaakovod. The Anan Yaakovod had gone away, generally. But what the result of Sarutzkin is saying here is that what happened, that cloud, so this is all true. The Gra says that after the Chet Egel, the clouds in general went away. The clouds of glory went away. Okay, the Anan Yaakovod. And then they come back on Sukkot, and that's why in Sukkot we celebrate the Sukkah, which is Anan Yaakovod. Okay?
Come back Yom Kippur? No,
so on Yom Kippur, Moshe comes down the mountain, and then that's Parshas Vayakel, and then he teaches them about the Melachas and Mishkan, and then they gather all the stuff, and as they begin to build it, that's when the clouds come back. But what Sarutzkin is saying, he's saying something different. He's saying that when the actual... So there's two sets of clouds. There's the Anan Yaakovod that was surrounding Klal Yisrael, and there's the cloud that was on the Har Sinai. So when after the Chet Egel, the clouds of glory come back, the Anan Yaakovod come back, but when they build the Mishkan, and they finally build it, what happens? The cloud from Har Sinai comes back. Okay, the cloud, and which fits very well, the Ramban and many others write, that the purpose of the Mishkan was to continue the Sinai experience every single day.
It should have been right away, right?
Whatever, yeah, I don't know, but the point being that there was supposed to be this continuation of that experience in Har Sinai, which was a one-time miraculous event. So how do you take that with you? So the answer is the constant avoda in the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, is the continuation of that experience. It's on a much smaller scale, which it has to be. You can't have Har Sinai every day, but it's supposed to continue it. So the return of Kisa He'anan et HaMishkan is that Anan, which Anan? The Anan that had been on Har Sinai, okay? And then in Lafigach, Ba'al HaMishkan, Ba'oso Anan, that's why Hashem shows up in that Anan. Shenigla Alav Al Har Sinai, Lodiya Shehu Yitbarach Michavevotam, Kamoj B'Ma'amad Har Sinai. Hashem's love for Am Yisrael, which is reflected in the Anan being on top of the Mishkan. But now it goes even further. La'ol Ha'idus, Hanu She'anan, Shachan Al Kodesh HaKadoshim. So you want to know exactly where it was? It was actually over the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why is that? Shebo ha'aron im luchot ha'idut v'chein batzasi. I don't know where you found it. But why? Some explain, the usual explanation, why is it called the Ohel Ha'idut? Because what is in the Ohel Ha'idut? The luchot ha'idut. The luchot, which are testimony to Hashem's connection to us. The luchos, right? The luchos are called luchos ha'idus. So it's called Ohel Ha'idus because it's the place that holds those things. So if that's true, where does Hashem's cloud go? Over the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which holds... the Aron, which holds
the Luchos.
Okay? V'nira li, api amur b'shmos rabba, v'ikhu li truma, masha, when we say, bring me, right, truma, Hashem says, bring me a gift to build the Mishkan. What happens? He tells a mashal. Mashal lemelech shahaisa lo bas yechida. It's a king who had only one daughter. Ba echa min ha-melachim, v'natla, and the man comes and wants to marry her. Bikish lelech lo la'artzo, and he wants to marry the king's daughter, and he wants to take her back to his kingdom. V'litol lishto, amalo, biti shenatati lecha yechidisi. So the father-in-law says to him, she's my only daughter. Lifrosh mimena en yechol. I can't let her go, and I'm not going to be, I can't just send her away forever. I'm never going to see her again. Elazu tova asali. Do me a favor. Shekomakom shata holich, kiton echar asili, shadur etzachem. Make me a father-in-law suite. Okay, a mother-in-law suite. Forever you go. It's beautiful, right? Kach amra kadosh baruch hu Yisrael. This is what Hashem says to Am Yisrael. Natati lachem et haTorah. I gave you the Torah. Lifrosh hemena eni yechol. I can't separate from the Torah. Ela b'chomakom shatam ochim, bait echer asuli, shadur b'tochol. So make a space for me to live in whenever you go. Shenemar v'asul mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Right, make a space for me. So as you live your life now with the Torah that I gave you, you should continue to have that together with me as you go. I should be with you. Lefikach keshabal kadosh baruch hu ba'anan ladur b'mikdash. When Hashem comes in a cloud to live in the mikdash. Ba el ched bebitos. Where does he go? He hangs out by his daughter's room. That's where he hangs out. El kadosh hakadoshim. Shachan al ol ha'idut. Makom haron ve'aluchon. He stays specifically in that place.
Okay, that's very beautiful. No, because it's saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu can't separate from the Torah, not Bnei Yisrael.
Right. What do you mean?
He gave us the Torah.
Yeah.
And now he wants to like
stay with it.
With it. Not with us.
Okay.
That's
the
thing.
Okay. Were you? Oh, interesting.
Like,
okay. Yeah. All right. I don't know what to say. I think it's nice. but that explains also like this idea of like the Anan continuing with it. Fine. So it's two different pshatim. One is like the Anan is Hashem coming back to us, and one is the Anan staying with the Torah. But by the way, you can put the two together. Initially, he wants to have the Anan stay because I'm obviously my son-in-law. I'm coming along, but I want to stay with the Torah. But then he did something so horrible that I want to leave. And then you do tshuva, what happens? I'm going to come back. So then he's still coming back to us. Okay. All right, I win. Good. Okay. Okay. I'll just show you one last, I thought just like a cute, nice idea. And then I'll bring you back to the Ramban. Mareh Eish Laila is the next idea in the Zohar Torah. He says something, this is also something I was mentioning before. Why Mareh Eish? Why does it look like? Yes, right here.
We're still on
page three. Bottom of page three. Why does it say mar'eh ish? Something that looks like fire. What's the pshat? U'le'el namar kim mar'eh ish. And before it said, like a, I don't want to say this in English, like a vision of fire, whatever. Kishiro b'nei Yisrael b'leilah rishon, the first night, when the Jewish people saw, she'anan nefach ad boker la'ish, they see like, and they're like, shoo, like the anan switches to fire, like, ooh, you know? You ever been to like Universal Studios and see the, like Lahavdal, a million Havdalas, and see the Harry Potter thing with the fire-breathing dragon? Anyone ever see that before?
Not yet.
Yeah. Not yet, okay. Okay, you should be Zohar. But there's this huge, like, we're not big Harry Potter people at all, zero. My kids just started to read it now. But we happen to go, we're in Universal. So there's like this huge, 100 feet tall dragon. And every five minutes, it like breathes fire. Mm-hmm. Everyone waits to see it. Like it's like this this gadget that works. And when you see it, you're like, whoa, that's, it's like actually hot, actually. Like it's fine. So yeah, okay, so it's fire. So, but like the first time you see it, it's like, whoa. And then the second time you're like, oh. And the third time you're like, all right. So he says the first time they saw the cloud turn to fire, wow, right? Hevinu she'ein ze eish mamish. They knew this isn't really fire. Ela kvod Hashem kimarei eish. This is not Hashem. This is not fire. This is Hashem, right? Aval kol neis hamatmid nepach b'nei adam ledaver tivi. When you get used to something, what happens? It becomes natural after a while. Umikevan shekein yet tamid, since it was there all the time, as kfar nid met lahem shezem mara'esh. At first it was kim mara'esh. It looks like fire, right? Because it's really Hashem. Mm-hmm. But after a while, it's fire, whatever. It looks like fire. But anyways, but that's not our main point here. But that was interesting. But now go back to source number three, which is the Ramban, who's going to talk about all of this, all of this work we're doing with the clouds. And Ramban writes source number four. We're not going to read the whole thing. Look what he says. Ubayom akim et ha-mishkan lefi shirotz l'daber b'masad galim magil... sorry, I'm reading the chizkut. Ata yachzor l'sefer b'inanei anisiya. Now we're going back l'saper, to tell you the how they would travel. V'amitzvos shenitztavu ba kegon ha-chatzotzros shenitztavu ben, that they have to blow the trumpets, etc. Fine. But now it's the next line. V'tam kisa ananas ha-mishkan l'ol ha-yidut l'agid shelo haya anan... Okay, he's just pointing out that the actual cloud only covered the ohel, like the actual mishkan, not the chatzer, not the other outside areas. Fine. Betam ubaricha anan. What's going on when he's saying that? But someone said anan would stay for a long time. Lomar kim yaricha anan mishkan yamim rabim. If it would stay there for a long time, v'makoma hu enenu tov beinehem. And it was like, this isn't such a nice place. It wasn't, near some nice, what are nice areas in the desert called? Oasis, thank you. In the desert. It wasn't a nice oasis, okay? V'ayu chafetzim u'metavim ma'ol l'insom. I'm like, come on, get me out of here already. I don't want to stay here anymore. Can we leave already? It's like enough time, you know? Afapichen lo yav ra'aretzon Hashem. They didn't violate Hashem's will. V'zetam v'shamru b'nei Yisrael as mishmeres Hashem. And this is what it means, that they were the guardians of what Hashem said. Honestly, I don't want to stay anymore. I'd rather leave. But what are you going to do? It's what Hashem said. Ki miyiras Hashem u'mishmara mishmeres mitzvatso lo yiso. It was because Yibo Hashem said so, they didn't go. V'chein im yiyah anan yamim mispar. Kishnayim u'shlosh yamim. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 days. V'ayu am yagi yigeyim el. And they'd be very tired. V'ana b'derech kocham. Yasu Ritzon Hashem Lalechat Acharyana. It didn't matter. The point is, why is the Torah going 5 days, 10 days, and a month, and a year? What's the point? That in every scenario, it could be frustrating and difficult. And nevertheless, what did the people do? Just what Hashem said. That's what they did. V'siper od. Ki yesh lo yamdu rak laila achad. V'yisu b'boker. So they'd stop just one night and then travel the next day. Afabishu torach gadol lahem. It was a big pain in the neck. V'lefamim yamod enan yomam v'layla. Ki achu kol alayla ubav makom ahu b'boker. They traveled the whole night, and they got there in the morning. V'yanuach anan sham kol ayam, means rest the whole day. V'chol alayla v'nala b'boker hasheni. V'nasa, time to go the next morning. V'torach gadol min harishon, even worse. You just travel all night, you feel awful. You stay up all night Shavuos. I do that. You feel, it's not the same when you're 18, staying up all night Shavuos, when you're 42. It's harder, right? Right? And you stay up all night, you feel awful, you just barely make it through the day. Traveling again the next morning, right? It's very hard. Ki ayuga ha'am surim she'amdu sham uparku ha'galot v'inichu masam ki minikah ha'bayim el ha'derech. They thought it was time to unpack. We're going to stay here for a while. U'balot ha'anan yachzeru lit'om v'lo yuchlu la'asot lahem tikun la'derech. They had no time. Get ready. They just had to get up and get going, etc., etc. Right, and the point is, yitachein she'ira lahem b'masaot she'asu k'misupart b'kan v'lo b'inyan acher ki amar he'anan me'erev v'ad boker v'yomam v'lala v'yomayim v'chodesh v'shana v'lakach hiskir ha'kasuv elu ha'shi'urim b'fratan. And that's where the Torah goes through all the different little amounts of time. A year, or a day, or a month, to explain to you all the different ways it could be a pain in the neck. And to emphasize that, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael es mishmeres Hashem. They did it anyways. Mm-hmm. It's basically like a love letter from Hashem to Am Yisrael. Like, look what they did. Look how amazing they were. Take a look at the reverse.
I feel like we just did that in last week's parsha also.
What do you mean?
Like, every single quote.
Yes. Yes, why repeat it over and over again? Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I also had another thought.
Yes.
But also, like, because it's saying these different periods of time, like, was there a point where like they would be staying and they would be in one spot for a year without moving? Sounds like
yeah.
But it like it'd be very easy at that point to be so comfortable that like okay, this is so nice. The cloud hasn't moved in a long time. Maybe this is where we are. But it's like no. The destination's there. It's Israel. We're still going. It just
and this by the way is before the Berchei Meraglim.
Yeah.
This isn't like when they're supposed to be wandering around.
Yeah. Well, they know
they're supposed to be on the way. They could just keep going and then get in. I'm sure there was Chevra who was like, no, can we just, let's go. And other people are like, no, no, no. I need time. You have 2 million people, right? I'm just saying, like, you know, there's the Hashkama Chevra, and there's the 830 Chevra, and the main Shul Chevra. Everyone's different.
How many miles is it?
Not a lot.
Right? It's like 3 days worth of
walking. It's not very far. Yeah. It's not very far to get there. Not far at all.
But then when was it going to be a year?
I mean, I wouldn't want to walk it today, but I'm just saying, like, it's all be dangerous. But, like,
they didn't know it was going to be a year when it was going to be.
Correct. They didn't know how long it was going to be. They didn't know anything. They didn't know anything. They didn't know. They could have gone right in. They could have gone in through the Rafa crossing. Right? Rabbi, nice and quick. Hashem didn't take it that way. Take a look at Rav Hirsch. Source number 6. Ubayom. Yeah. Very demanding. The Vav of Ubayom connects this section with the preceding, indicating that the present section is the natural continuation of the preceding section and is intimately bound up with it. We're on page 4. For the Pesach of the preceding section brought to expression Israel's mission and the vow they took upon themselves. Again, the section before is about Pesach Sheni. Whereas, what follows is nothing but the actualization of the idea symbolized by the Pesach. For the fundamental idea of Pesach Mitzrayim is this: Israel, as God's flock, is to follow its shepherd and place itself under God's guidance. This idea recurs each Pesach every year and is renewed in the hearts of all Israel. But what all the families of Israel express by drawing near to God with their Paschal lamb is nothing other than Al Pi Hashem Echad U'Al Pi Hashem Yisrael. We're going to follow Hashem. Right? That's what we're going to do. They shall dwell in the place that a God will mark for them and go to the place where Hashem will lead them. The verses that now follow show how they learned and fulfilled this mission and follow God with devotion. It's very pretty, right? The point being that there's a smichos aparshios. It's a connection between the story of Pesach, the Pesach in the Midbar, not Pesach Mitzrayim. But basically that the story of Pesach is, we're going to follow you, right? And then so what do? We talk about how they did, practically. But now he says a different piece. This is a couple seconds later. The cloud was the shepherd's staff. By means of, and by the way, literally it turned into a staff, right? We said, yeah. Right? By means of, that's why the Medrash maybe turns into a staff, right? By means of which God, Roei Yisrael, revealed to his flock where and when to camp and when and in which direction they were to journey forth. And we are told here that the will and intention of this guidance was unpredictable. There were times when the people had to stay in one place for a long period. At other times, they were allowed to remain at rest for a few days only. Some of their rest periods lasted only one night, or one day and one night. And then again, there were times when they had to remain in camp for a whole month or even a year. The Ramban explains that since they never had advance indication of how long each rest period would be, whenever the cloud would give the signal to encamp, they would have to make all the arrangements for an extended encampment, knowing that in a few hours, they might have to break camp to follow the movement of the cloud. Right? You pack for a long time, to camp for a long time, and then you might have to leave in 5 minutes.
Were they traveling also at night sometimes?
Yes. Sometimes travel at night also. Yes, correct. This is the teaching of the journey through the wilderness, from which we learn for all time to follow Hashem's guidance with devotion and trust, no matter how incomprehensible it may seem to us. But again, this is also the same thing, right? The idea of following, Am Yisrael following Hashem in the Midbar, right, is not just about the Jewish people following Hashem literally through the desert. It is a mashal for every Jew following Hashem through life, right? The trials and tribulations and difficulties and better and worse and triumphs and difficulties in heart. Right? This is not stam that the Torah gives us. Most of the Torah is the story of the Jewish people traveling to the desert. 3/5 almost of it, right? Is or more than half is the people traveling, following Hashem through the desert. Right? And this is it's beautiful. This is the teaching of the journey to the wilderness from which we learn for all time to follow God's guidance with devotion and trust, no matter how incomprehensible it may seem to us. At times, he instructs us to leave what we've just begun to love. And at times, he requires us to remain steadfast in an undesirable situation. Nevertheless, we accept and fulfill with joy whatever he commands us. That's our goal, at least.
That's
right?
Mishmeres.
That's Mishmeres, yeah. For beneath the shepherd's staff of his guidance, we will always be happy. And it is our faithfulness and obedience to God that bring us happiness. I wonder, by the way, this refers to write this in English. He wrote it in German. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, like, the word was happiness or the word was, like, satisfaction or meaningful. Or, I'm being serious. I don't like the word. I don't like the word happiness, but okay, fine. I like the word happiness in reference to, like, olam hazeh, you know, not in reference to, like, things that I give fulfillment. Fulfillment, I like that word. We will always be ready to put all our trust in Hashem and to follow him to unknown destinations, along mysterious paths, to wait and long for him patiently, or to follow him boldly, all according to the direction of his guidance. However, closer consideration of these exercises and tests by which God sought to train his people for all time reveals not the strain of long journeys, but primarily the patient waiting in lengthy stops is what is stressed here at the test of the people. It just points out. So first of all, this whole idea, right, of the traveling, following Hashem, stopping and going and following, and it's hard and I don't want to go anymore. Now I wish we would go already. Right? All of this is a mashal, right, to the Jewish people following Hashem in general. But then he notes that actually sometimes the hardest part is not the going and the following, but the waiting. The waiting. Right? Nothing is said of the duration of the journeys, but the prolonged waiting is mentioned several times. It doesn't say ever how long we traveled. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. But how long we waited. Sometimes you'd wait for a day, wait for a month, wait for a year. It doesn't say how long they traveled. Very interesting. Already in verse 17 it says, V'acharechein yiso. They journeyed forth only after, not before the cloud lifted. And in verse 18, after it already said, Apiy Hashem yisov, Apiy Hashem yachanu, it repeats, Kol yemei asher yishkon ha'anan yachanu. Finally in verse 19. Again, the point being over and over again, that Shmiras Mishmeras Hashem Shamaru, right? That is the proof of their obedience to him. Clearly then, particular stress is placed on Israel's endurance and patience. This is all the more understandable if one considers the inhospitableness of the wilderness, and particularly the fact that the people, not yet condemned to 40 years of wandering, again, this is before the Chedem Araglim, were fully aware that the destination lay not in the wilderness, but beyond it, and that every stop they made in the wilderness served only to keep them from their promised destination. If I was there, I would have been like, come on already. What are we waiting around for? Why I don't we like when we drive? And I was like, can we just
zip it?
Let's go. Everybody just like no drinking, right? Let's go. Just get there, right? We could if we stay on there before we hit traffic, right? Like right, you know, yeah, right, fine. What are we doing here? No, let's stop for an hour and do nothing. Why would we do that? The goal is to get to the destination. And what is Hashem teaching us? Not so fast, right? Every stop they made in the wilderness served only to keep them from their promised destination. Through these exercises, the people acquired the virtue of quiet, serene resignation and trusting patience, which they would need on their wanderings in the wilderness of the nations. Meaning they need it when? In Galus. Mm-hmm. Through so many centuries of Galus. It was of this virtue that the prophet said, "If yismamea chakelo." If he waits, wait for him. Okay, which we've turned into source number 7. Rambam writes, all right, in the 13th of the Yud Gimel Kari Muna, Ani ma'amin be'amuna shleima b'vias ha-mashiach. You could just say that. You could the that line could have stopped there. Which should a person believe in? Mashiach will come. Continues the Rambam. Va'af api sheyismameya im koze achakelo b'chol yom sheyavon. Even though he tarries, he delays, nevertheless, I will wait for him every single day that he will come. Okay, that's not that. It's interesting. Is that the language the Rambam himself wrote? But bottom line is, there's a focus on the waiting. The waiting is so hard, right? The waiting is so hard, and the message which the Ramban and Rav Hirsch want to argue of this whole story, fascinating. If you really look at it, the focus is on the waiting because the waiting is the hardest. Why is waiting harder?
You're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm, right? We all want to do stuff. Right? Whenever you feel that life is out of control and things are out of my control, what do you want to do? So can I,
you
know, pack something or do something or send something or write something or send an email, or I just want to know something, because when we do stuff, we feel at least that we are in control, even though we're not. But we feel like we're in control, right? And fine, so maybe we need that sometimes. But the point is that's why the waiting is so hard. Because by waiting, you are signaling, I actually recognize that I am not in control. And that's a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing. And that's why Klal Yisrael is praised so much. We talk so much about the mistakes they made in the Midbar, and they made a lot of them. They did a pretty good job for like a lot of the time. Right, 38 and a half years or so, we hear nothing about what happened in the Midbar. They just kind of like hang out. And they don't do anything. They don't complain. They don't fight. Right? They really did a pretty good job.
Being asleep.
I feel like we just fast forward.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, they do half decent. you know, once, you know, things go really go sideways, they realize they messed this up and they really, you know, do better. But the point being that this message, I think, I don't need to tell you what kind of message this is, right? The challenge of life, the challenge of waiting, the challenge of uncertainty, the challenge of everything. And the message is, Al-Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al-Pi Hashem Yiso. Sometimes we have to go, sometimes we have to stop, sometimes we have to wait, sometimes we have to act. All of it, Al-Pi Hashem. And that's a very difficult thing to do. But the stories that were told of Klal Yisrael traveling, even just in this way, is meant, I think, to give us chizuk. First of all, that they could do it. There were people who were a slave people, right? And they learned how to do this the right way, even before the miracle. They learned how to do that. And something that all of us can learn. It's hard to do it, particularly in this generation of everything happens for me instantly. To have to wait is like, it's like the worst thing in the world, right? And even that we can do. Even that we can do. And you know, when we do, you know, we give ourselves strength, and Bez Hashem will continue to strengthen our own emunah in him. Okay.